Blake's words swirled around her, threatening to drag her under, yet refusing to sink in. Farah's body reacted first, her heart slamming against her chest in double time, while her brain struggled to process the implications of Blake's statement. What?
It was fun while it lasted, but the year is almost over and I'm not interested anymore. I'm sorry,
he repeated. You're lying. He had to be. There was no way. No way she could have been so wrong. The past 7 months flashed through Farah's mind's eye like a movie playing at 2x speed. Their first run-in in the stairwell. Their first kiss. Their first time having sex. The first time they said, I love you. The secrets they shared. The places they explored. The nights they spent in each other's arms. She struggled to breathe. The air thickened into a dark, ugly ooze, making it impossible for oxygen to reach her lungs. There were so many thoughts running through her mind, she couldn't focus. So Farah grasped at the easiest one to swallow. Blake was lying. She'd looked into his eyes and seen the love there. She'd felt it. You couldn't fake that kind of emotion. He stiffened.
I'm not.
You are.
Farah didn't know who she was trying to convince more, him or herself.
You said you loved me.
I lied.
Farah inhaled sharply. True or not, those two words sliced through her like a knife. Don't cry. Don't cry. Do not fucking cry. You're full of shit. Her voice trembled with uncertainty. Look at you. You're shaking.
Blake clenched his hands into fists. His knuckles turned white. Farah, his voice sounded like a bomb going off in the silence. I got back with my ex-girlfriend over the holidays. I didn't know how to tell you. I love her, and I made a mistake here, with us. But I'm trying to fix it.
A sob escaped. The temperature dropped another 20 degrees, and a strange roaring filled her ears. The fist around her heart squeezed, and right as she was about to explode from the pain, it released its grip and shattered everything in its wake. I need to get out of here. Yet Farah's feet remained glued in place as she tried to comprehend what was happening. The Blake in front of her wasn't the Blake she knew. He was so stoic, so unsympathetic. She wondered whether this was a nightmare or if the past 7 months had been a dream.
I'm sorry.
That broke the spell. Stop saying that! Blake's eyes widened. Farah gripped her necklace tight with one hand until the metal dug painful grooves into her palm. It was all a lie then, this past year. Blake looked away. Why? Why did you pretend you cared? Was it some sick joke? You wanted to see whether I'd be gullible enough to fall for you? Well, congratulations. Tears burned her eyes. You won. Blake Ryan, the champion. Your father was right. You shouldn't have quit. No one plays the game better than you.
A tear slipped out and scalded her cheek. Farah wiped it away angrily. She'd already given him too much. She wasn't going to give him the satisfaction of seeing her cry, too. Blake may as well be carved from marble for all the emotion he showed. Her blood bubbled with rage.
If you say I'm sorry one more time, she hissed, I'll go to the kitchen, come back, and cut your balls off with a rusty knife. In fact, I may do that anyway. You're a fucking asshole. I'm sorry I wasted all this time on you. And I'm sorrier for your girlfriend. She deserves better.
Farah summoned the strength to stand. She walked to the door, praying her legs wouldn't give out before she reached the hallway. She gripped the doorknob and turned around for a last look at Blake. Other than the slight tremble in his shoulders, he sat there, unmoving, face blank.
Blake Ryan, her first love, her first lover,
her first heartbreak.
Farah closed the door with a soft click. Her feet moved.
One step, two steps, and so on until she reached her room. The ringing in her ears pounded in sync with her steps. She prayed Janice wasn't there. She was. Lady Luck hated her today. Janice glanced up when Farah entered, before she dove back into her book. A second later, her head popped up again, her brow furrowed with worry. Are you okay?
Yes.
Farah smiled so hard her cheeks hurt.
I'm fine. I'm great. I'm...
The alarm mounted on Janice's face.
I...
Farah's anger faded like a flame losing oxygen.
No. Don't you dare fucking leave.
She grabbed at the remaining tendrils of fury with desperate hands. They were the only things left holding her together. But she may as well have tried to grab sand. They slipped through her fingers until there was nothing left.
I'm...
Pain rushed in to fill the void. Incredible, soul-crushing pain. The kind that forced her to double over it hurt so much. The dam she'd erected to keep her tears at bay collapsed, sending streams of liquid grief down her cheeks. That was it. Farah curled up into a ball on the floor. She hugged her knees to her chest and sobbed. Huge, racking sobs that shook her body but made nary a noise. Her stomach ached. Her sides ached. Her heart ached so much she was sure she was dying. All the while, her brain tortured her with memories.
Whatever happens, we can get through it together. I love you. Never forget how much I love you.
It seemed so real, so sincere. Farah didn't just love Blake. She trusted him. She trusted him enough not only to give him her virginity, but her heart. Turns out he'd been playing her this entire time.
I'm such an idiot.
Farah buried her face in her knees, struggling to breathe between sobs. Her mouth dried and her eyes burned, but she couldn't stop. It was too much. Everything, the pain, the embarrassment, the shock, it was too much. Janice sat next to her on the floor, and even though the two girls hadn't spoken more than a dozen words to each other since the year began, she placed her arm around Farah's shoulders and stayed with her until Farah ran out of tears to cry.
Chapter 32. 1 month later. The day had come. FEA graduation, their last night in Shanghai. Blake didn't shed a tear at his high school graduation, but a lump formed in his throat as Wang Laoshi ended his speech and the ceremony segued into the retrospective portion of the evening. The lights dimmed, a giant projector screen slid down the wall, and the opening strains of Emile Chow's classic song Peng Yu, Friends, filled the auditorium. Images from the past year flashed across the screen. There were Blake and Luke, sweaty, grinning, and flashing cheesy thumbs up after their orientation week scavenger hunt. Then a semi-candid shot of FEA's first night at 808, Sammy and Olivia dancing together, Farah sticking her tongue out at the camera, and Courtney on stage, clutching a drink in each hand with her face screwed up in laughter. The lump in Blake's throat grew at the joy on Farah's face. His gaze drifted to where she sat two rows down and three seats to his right. Was she laughing? Crying? She sat so still he couldn't tell. The slideshow continued. The guys playing basketball, Farah and Olivia on a beach in Thailand. The group on the Great Wall pre-hike. Courtney and Leo holding scorpions on sticks at the Beijing night market. There were countless other photos of Blake and his friends in restaurants, taxicabs, rickshaws, bars and clubs, posing in dressing rooms and dorm rooms and VIP rooms, hosting a mock singing competition in the student lounge, on the street with random people whose names they forgot or never knew to begin with. Blake couldn't help but laugh when he saw the photo of Farah passed out on the couch of a karaoke lounge. They'd hiked the Shishan Trail that day, and by the time evening rolled around, they were too tired to go clubbing. They settled for KTV instead. Farrah fell asleep after the second song. Sammy had ducked his head into the picture frame. He'd had a few drinks, and his face matched the color of his red shirt. Courtney pretended to lick Farrah's cheek while Olivia grabbed a handful of the sleeping girl's hair and did an exaggerated sexy pose behind the couch, her lips pursed into a model pout. Blake's laugh died when the next picture came up. Blake and Farrah kissing on a rooftop bar by the Bund, their fingers intertwined by their sides. The skyline glittered behind them, bright and full of promise. He could only see their profiles, but the love radiating from the photo hit him like a punch to the gut. Blake looked away. The pain had stabilized into a dull ache over the past month, but now the sharp pangs of his heart breaking returned with a vengeance. Thankfully, the slideshow ended and Wang Laoshi started calling students on stage to receive their ceremonial graduation certificates. "Congratulations," Wang Laoshi shook Blake's hand. "Good luck with your future endeavors." "Thanks." He was going to need it. Between school, the bar, and preparing for life as a father, Blake barely slept these days. He ran on pure adrenaline and fear of what might happen if he slowed down. So he didn't. Blake looked out at the crowd before he exited the stage. The lights made it hard to see any details, but he could just make out Farrah in the crowd. She sat stone-faced, like she was watching a comedy that wasn't particularly funny. They hadn't spoken since their breakup. They'd barely seen each other, even though they lived in the same dorm. That was probably a good thing, because every time Blake so much as thought about Farrah, pain scissored his insides and shredded his heart all over again. He heard from Luke, the only one of his friends who spoke to him anymore, that Farrah won the design competition. Blake wished he could say something. He knew what the competition meant to her. He remembered the nights they spent together in the library, him working on his business plan, her working on her designs, taking breaks to laugh and kiss in between. Blake's jaw tightened at the memories. "Get it together, man." He returned to his seat and examined the certificate in his hands. It wasn't his official college diploma, but it may as well be. It signaled the end of the carefree student chapter of his life. The next chapter, as an actual adult and father, loomed in front of him like a storm cloud. Beautiful, inescapable, somewhat exciting, but mostly terrifying. It didn't matter that he wasn't ready. The future was coming whether Blake liked it or not, and that meant he had to leave the past behind. On stage, Wang Laoshi passed out the last certificate and gazed around the auditorium. "It's been a pleasure. Class, you're dismissed." The room erupted into cheers, although Blake saw more than one person wipe tears from their eyes. The chatter intensified as everyone stood up and filed out the door. They had an hour before the official end-of-semester dance. Outside, the scent of an impending storm hung warm and heavy in the air. The humidity clung to Blake's skin like saran wrap. He needed to shower before the dance. A part of him wanted to skip the dance altogether, but FEA deserved a proper goodbye. "You're in for hell later," Blake said when Luke fell into step with him. "Courtney was already glaring daggers at you for sitting with me." Luke shrugged. "Tonight's our last night. What's she gonna do, kick me out?" Blake cracked a smile. "That's brave of you. Hey, I'm pissed you didn't tell me about your girl back home, but..." Luke clapped him on the shoulder. "You're my best friend here. I got your back." Another lump formed in Blake's throat. "Thanks, man. That means a lot." Awkward silence. "So," they spoke at the same time. "This moment never happened," Blake said. "Never." "Cool." "Yep." When they reached the dorm, they found their friends, or in Blake's case, ex-friends, huddled in the courtyard. Farrah stood in the middle of the group, her hand resting at the base of her throat. Her necklace, the one from her father, was missing.
"Are you sure you didn't leave it in your room?" Olivia asked.
"I had it in the auditorium, but it must have fallen off.
I don't know where.
Farrah's voice tightened with stress. A flash of lightning lit up the sky, followed by a crack of thunder that made them all jump.
We'll find it. It has to be around here somewhere, and the auditorium isn't too far from the dorm.
Sammy placed a hand on Farrah's shoulder.
For now, let's go inside. It's going to pour.
Courtney noticed Blake watching.
Can I help you?
She snapped.
Be nice, Court.
It was the first time Blake heard Luke admonish Courtney. Shock flitted across her face.
I hope you find your necklace, Blake said to Farrah.
The group fell silent. Seven pairs of eyes darted between the ex-lovers. Farrah's fingers curled into a fist. Like Courtney, she remained silent. Another boom of thunder rocked the air. Huge droplets of water splashed onto the ground and blurred Blake's vision. What started as a drizzle turned into a downpour. Panicked shouts filled the air as everyone ran inside to avoid getting drenched.
My new Gucci!
Chris wailed. Blake wiped the water from his eyes and followed the others into the lobby.
Hey, you mind if I borrow your hairdryer? No way I'm going to make it to my homestay and back for the dance.
Luke raked his fingers through his wet locks.
Yeah, it's in my bottom drawer.
Blake tossed his friend his key card.
I'll catch up with you later.
Cool, see ya.
No one else spoke to Blake on their way to the stairs, though Sammy did throw him an odd look. He hadn't been as hostile as the girls. He even said hi on a few occasions. But he'd clearly chosen a side in the breakup. Farrah brushed by Blake. The air between them crackled with electricity for a moment. And then she was gone. Blake waited until the lobby emptied before he placed his soggy certificate on a nearby table and returned outside.
You are an idiot,
Sammy muttered under his breath. He dodged a puddle only to step in another one. Water splashed all over his shoes and pant legs.
Damn it!
He had to leave his phone in the auditorium tonight of all nights when the biggest storm of the year rolled into town. He didn't realize he didn't have his trusty electronic sidekick until after he changed for the dance. Sammy checked his watch. He had half an hour to get to the auditorium, find his phone, return to his room, and change before the buses left for the dance. FEA paid good money to reserve a hotel ballroom for the semester send-off, and the money-minded Wang Laoshi made it clear. Anyone who missed the bus would have to find their own way to the hotel. On a normal night, he could take a taxi, but trying to find an empty cab on a night like this? Good luck.
Olivia's going to kill me.
Sammy had the auditorium in his sights when he noticed a figure lurking in the bushes nearby. His pace slowed. His heart rate quickened. No one in their right mind would linger outside in this weather. The figure was either a crazed murderer or just plain crazed. Either way, Sammy had no interest in being that evening's homicide news item. Lightning streaked the sky and illuminated the figure, who wore a familiar gray t-shirt and jeans. They rifled through the foliage like they were looking for something. Sammy's pulse returned to normal.
Blake?
Blake's head snapped up. He didn't have an umbrella or raincoat on, and his shirt was so soaked it looked black.
What are you doing out here?
I left my phone in the auditorium.
Sammy stepped closer and raised his umbrella so that it covered both of them.
What are you doing out here?
This was their first real conversation since Blake and Farrah's breakup. Sammy nearly fell over when he heard about their split. It didn't make sense. He'd seen the way Blake looked at Farrah. There was no faking that kind of emotion. There had to be more to the story than Blake was telling them. But it didn't matter. If Blake wanted to tell them the truth, he would. Otherwise, it was best to let Farrah grieve and move on instead of trying to fix things and making them worse.
I'm looking for my contacts.
I didn't know you wore glasses.
Sammy was sure Blake didn't wear glasses. The guy could read a menu posted outside a restaurant from 20 feet away. Blake shrugged. A sad smile crossed Sammy's face. If only Farrah knew how much Blake still loved her.
Chapter 33. Thunder crashed outside, followed by the loud pitter-patter of raindrops splattering against the windows.
Flashes of lightning illuminated the skies with an eerie light. It was the worst storm they'd experienced in Shanghai, and it matched Farah's mood to a T. She reached for her necklace before she remembered she didn't have it. Hope for finding it before her flight tomorrow morning dwindled by the second. Farah should be looking forward to this summer. She won the design competition, the one she'd dreamed of winning since she found out about it years ago. She received the email while waiting to board her flight after FEA's spring semester trip to Chengdu, and her resulting scream nearly got her arrested by airport security. Yes, she was excited about potentially interning in New York with Kelly Burke, final internship placement pending. But she also mourned what had to end for the next chapter of her life to begin. Farah curled her hand into a fist and rested it at the base of her throat as she meandered down the fourth floor hallway. Group photos of every class since FEA Shanghai's inception in the 80s lined the walls. The group started small. There'd only been a dozen students in the first class, before expanding to the current size of 70-plus undergraduates. It was surreal, looking at the photographs and realizing how many people had walked these halls before them. Members of the first class would be in their 50s by now. Yet there they were in their photo, immortalized behind glass, forever 19 and 20 and 21. Farah detected a shadow of her friends in all of them. A hint of Sammy's good-natured grin, a trace of Chris's regal haughtiness, a mischievous twinkle in the eye that would make Courtney proud. The superficial resemblances were there, but she wondered if they laughed as hard and loved as deep, if they had their hearts broken, and if they found their family here, or if they were just ships passing in the night. Did they keep in touch decades later? Did Shanghai change them? Or was it a mere footnote in the stories of their lives? Inexplicably, her heart ached for these strangers. She would never know their stories and secrets, but she knew them. She was, after all, walking in their footsteps. Farah skimmed her hands over the glass-encased images until she reached the end of the series. This year's class photo, taken yesterday and already mounted on the wall like the dozens before them. They'd arranged the students by height. Farah stood in the middle row with Olivia and Nardo, while Chris and Courtney sat cross-legged in front of them. Luke, Sammy, and Leo towered in the back. Farah's gaze strayed to the blonde next to Luke. Blake's dimples were out in full force, but there were shadows beneath his eyes and a furrow in his brow. She fought the urge to overanalyze the minutiae of his expression. Instead, Farah tore her eyes away from the photo and focused on the stretch of blank wall following it. Next year, there'd be another picture. Then another and another, until Farah's class was just one of FEA's many memories. The sound of heels clacking against linoleum echoed in the stairwell. Only one person in FEA who wore heels that made that noise. Hey, Chris stopped beside Farah. Hey. The two friends examined the wall in silence. Chris smelled like her usual mix of Chanel perfume and expensive shampoo. Farah breathed it in, letting the familiar scent comfort her. It's crazy, isn't it? Chris touched their class photo before pulling back like it burned her. This year flew by. Yeah, I can't believe it. It won't be the same, Chris looked at Farah. There were no tears, no overt emotion except for the wistfulness in her voice. Even if we all come back to Shanghai, it won't be the same. Farah dropped her hand from her throat and wrapped an arm around Chris's waist. I know. Chris rested her head on Farah's shoulder in an uncharacteristically vulnerable gesture. But neither girl acknowledged its strangeness. Instead, they stood there, soaking in their last moments together in this place, while the storm raged outside.
Chapter 34. The lights dimmed, the music swelled, the air filled with giddiness and nostalgia. Within an hour, the FEAers transformed the program's staid dance into a rave reminiscent of their heady first days in Shanghai. Only this time, it was the last hurrah instead of a kickoff. Blake leaned against the wall and sipped his drink. A few months ago, he would have been right there with them on the dance floor. Now it felt wrong. Were soon-to-be dads allowed to dance like that? The parenting e-books he downloaded didn't cover party etiquette for parents. "Did you do it?" He sensed the new presence next to him without having to turn his head. "Yeah." The disapproval came through loud and clear. "You should have done it yourself." "I couldn't. You have arms and legs. You could have picked up that locket, walked into the dorm and up the stairs to Farrah's room and handed it to her." "You know that's not what I meant." Blake tossed back the rest of his drink and slammed it on a nearby table. His head pounded with tension. "I don't know shit because you won't tell me shit." Sammy jabbed a finger into Blake's chest. "You better clue me in fast, unless you want another punch to the face. Obviously, you still have feelings for Farrah, so why the big breakup?" "It's complicated. Uncomplicated." Blake exhaled sharply. He looked around. Everyone was too lost in their own worlds to pay attention to him and Sammy. Luke, Leo, and Nardo gathered at the bar with a few other guys. Courtney and Chris danced like maniacs to the latest Top 40 chart topper. Farrah and Olivia were nowhere in sight. "Not here." Blake led them to the terrace and closed the sliding door behind them, muffling the music and raucous laughter. The rain had cleared and the moon shone bright in the sky. Sammy leaned against the railing and crossed his arms over his chest. "Let's hear it, Ryan. Who are you? And what have you done with Sammy Yu?" Blake tried to lighten the mood. He'd known Sammy for months. He'd never seen him like this. Sammy didn't smile at the unintended play on words. "It pisses me off when people hurt my friends and you hurt one of my best friends. I want to know why." Sammy might tell Farrah. She was, as he said, one of his best friends. But this was Sammy. As much of a stranger as he'd been this past month, he would never go back on his word. Blake's jaw worked as he rifled through his options. "Promise you won't tell anyone, not even Olivia, especially not Olivia." "I promise." Blake hesitated another second before he spilled the beans. New Year's, Cleo, her pregnancy, why he broke up with Farrah. Everything. As he spoke, Sammy's expression morphed from anger to shock to sympathy before settling on a mix of all three.
"Holy shit."
"Yeah."
"You're going to be a father."
"Yeah."
"You're in love with Farrah and you're having a baby with someone else."
Blake flinched. Sammy's matter-of-fact summary of his mess hit harder than it should have. Blake had months to reconcile himself with his situation. Clearly, he still had work to do.
"You need to tell Farrah."
"No." Sammy's eyebrows shot up at Blake's vehement response. Blake sucked in a deep breath. The mere thought of Farrah finding out the truth had his heart skittering like a panicked rabbit. "She deserves a clean break."
"She thinks you played her, and that's the way it'll stay," Blake said grimly. "You promised."
Was it better that Farrah thought he played her instead of cheated on her? Probably not. Given his harsh words the night they broke up, cheating was more redeemable, even if she did hate cheaters. After all, Blake didn't even remember his night with Cleo. But that was the point. Blake didn't want to be redeemable. Farrah deserved a clean break, and she couldn't get one if she thought he still loved her and just made a mistake over New Year's. She had to think he never loved her at all. It was the only way she could move on. A spike hammered into Blake's heart at the thought of Farrah moving on with someone else.
"Jesus." Sammy rubbed a hand over his face. "What are you going to do?"
"The only thing I can do. Go home and be a father." Sammy's gaze flicked toward the balcony door. He pushed himself off the railing and clapped a hand on Blake's shoulder.
"Good luck,"
Something in his tone compelled Blake to turn around. His blood ran cold. Farrah stood in the corner, half hidden in the shadows. He couldn't see her face, but he knew every curve of her body. Her scent, the way she moved, it was all imprinted into his memory. How long have you been standing there? His pulse pounded with fear. If she heard what he said.
Right after Sammy left.
Farrah stepped out of the shadows, and his heart tripped over itself trying to get to her. Standing there, bathed in moonlight, she reminded him of the first time they kissed. The Great Wall, the stars, their kiss. They may as well be a dream from a previous life. Blake shoved his hands into his pockets and clenched them into fists, stopping his runaway emotions in their tracks. You found your necklace. Her pendant rested against her throat where it belonged. At least one thing went right today.
Sammy found it.
Farrah fiddled with her necklace.
You guys looked like you were having an intense conversation.
We were reminiscing, Blake lied. This was their first conversation since the plane ride. Farrah wasn't ignoring or yelling at him, but he would have almost preferred that to her obvious yet civil contempt. What time is your flight tomorrow? Small talk wouldn't wipe that look off of her face, the one that said she thought he was lower than scum on the bottom of her shoe. But he was desperate to hear her voice.
10 in the morning.
Farrah glanced over her shoulder toward the ballroom.
You?
8 at night. I'm one of the last ones out. There was a beat of silence.
Well,
Farrah stepped toward the door.
Have a safe flight.
Wait. Blake didn't know what made him do it. Maybe it was the fresh air or the fact it was their last night together. Maybe it was a last-ditch attempt to reclaim the magic of a love lost, if only for a moment. Whatever it was, it made him close the gap between them until they were only inches apart. I need to tell you something. Farrah stared up at him, her eyes liquid in the moonlight, her face inscrutable. Blake reached for her before he thought twice and dropped his arm. I'm sorry.
For what?
For everything. For more than you can know. I never meant to hurt you. I was a jerk when I broke up with you, and I'm sorry. He was repeating himself from the plane, but damn it, he needed her to know. You were more of a jerk when you cheated on your girlfriend. Blake flinched. He deserved that. Didn't mean it didn't hurt like a bitch.
I have something to tell you, too.
Farrah's voice was as smooth and cool as glass.
Thank you.
He must have heard her wrong. Excuse me?
You're right. You are an asshole.
I didn't say I'm an asshole,
but you taught me some important lessons. One day I'll find the person I can trust more than anyone else because you showed me everything I shouldn't look for.
Blake's heart wrenched. It'd be so easy. Right then and there, when he and Farrah were the only people in the world, it'd be so easy to tell her the truth. It wouldn't set things right. He cheated on her, even if he didn't remember doing it. But at least she'd know. Everything he did, everything he told her was true. She was the love of his life. Then he remembered the look on Cleo's face when she told him she was pregnant. His family's reaction. The folder of parenting e-books on his computer. How his mom was already picking out color swatches for the nursery. He remembered all the reasons Farrah couldn't know the truth, and so he said the words that scraped his throat raw when he forced them out. I hope you find him. Farrah's nostrils flared. For a split second, her stony mask cracked, and he saw the hurt in her eyes. His heart wrenched again. Farrah turned and walked into the ballroom without another word. All Blake could do was watch her leave.
There was nothing left to say except the three words he could never say to her again. I love you.
Chapter 35. The FEAers ended their night at the only place that made sense. Gino's. Their home away from home. In the past year, they spent enough money here to keep the bar in the green for at least another 12 months, which may have been why the owner treated them to a round of free beers on their last night. Courtney raised her drink and looked around at the dozens of faces staring back at her. Guys, we've made it this far. This is our last night. Our last chance to make sure we don't leave Shanghai with any regrets. Say what you want to say, do what you want to do, or forever hold your peace. Farah flicked her eyes toward the back of the group, where Blake stood still as a statue.
I hope you find him.
His words echoed in her mind, taunting her.
We'll go back to our own cities and lives tomorrow, but no matter what happens, I think it's safe to say this is a year we'll cherish forever. So, cheers!
Courtney raised her drink higher.
To FEA, Shanghai, and a night we won't remember with friends we'll never forget. Cheers!
Farah lifted her glass as FEA erupted into a cacophony of chatter and glasses clinking. In her peripheral vision, Farah saw a tear slip down Janice's cheek. The end of the semester hit everyone harder than expected. Janice caught Farah's eye, and the two girls exchanged watery smiles. They were roommates, not friends. But Farah wouldn't forget the way Janice comforted her the night of her breakup with Blake. Part of her wished she'd gotten to know Janice better this year. But it was too late for that.
I can't stand this sentimental shit, Chris said. Don't lie, you love it.
Olivia draped an arm over Chris's shoulders.
I'm gonna miss you.
Chris sighed and finished her cranberry vodka.
I'm gonna miss you too.
She caught Farah's eye and rolled her eyes jokingly. Farah smiled. Chris may be prickly, but she would kill for her friends. That type of loyalty was hard to come by. The music switched to The Wanted's Glad You Came, one of Farah's favorite throwback songs. Her heart ached at the lyrics. Of all the cities in all the world, they ended up here. But what if they hadn't? Even if one person chose another city, this whole year would have been different. In that way, the lyrics couldn't have been more fitting. Though she knew the song was about orgasms. That was fitting, too. Vera's mouth tilted up at her own inside joke. She might have loose ends to tie up. She might never forget Blake. And she might not see half the people here again. But she was grateful for everything that happened these past 8 months. How lucky was she to have spent a year in Shanghai, to have strangers turn into family, to have loved so deeply it left scars on her heart. Her and Blake's story didn't end in a happily ever after, but he had showed her that love, that deep, all-consuming love people wrote songs and movies and books about, was real. Farah experienced it, even if he hadn't. While this story hadn't turned out the way she hoped, perhaps the next one would. Farah took a deep breath and pushed her sadness aside. It was her last night. Time to enjoy it. She joined her friends on the dance floor. Sammy's unbuttoned shirt bared his muscular chest, a sure sign he was drunk. Courtney hopped onto Luke's back and fist-pumped the air, even though they weren't playing fist-pumping music. Olivia and Chris took turns spinning each other around until Chris crashed into Nardo, who tried to start a conga line. No one except Flo joined him, but it was nice to see him loosen up for a change.
Farah, get your sexy ass over here.
Courtney climbed off Luke's back and corralled Farah, Chris, and Olivia into a group hug.
I love you girls, she said, her blue eyes bright with emotion. No crying, Chris warned. It gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Olivia's jaw dropped.
Did Chris Carrera just use the term heebie-jeebies?
No, I didn't. You can't prove it. If you tell anyone, I'll kill you. They cracked up at the same time. Farah took a mental snapshot and tucked it away in her box of cherished memories. She hoped she never forgot the love she felt in that moment. "This is it, guys," she squeezed her friends tighter. "Let's make it count." And for the rest of the night, they did. Farah and her friends soaked up the magic of their last hours together, surrendering themselves to the music, the lights, and the pulsing neon energy that coursed through Shanghai. Tomorrow seemed like ages away.
Chapter 36. Midnight came and went. Blake didn't join FEA's revelry, afraid of the secrets that might spill out should he drink too much. Nevertheless, he couldn't bring himself to return to the dorm. After Courtney's toast, Blake went outside for some fresh air. He ended up staying on the bench by Gino's entrance, watching the comings and goings of after-hours Shanghai, the street vendors hawking meat skewers to drunken revelers, the cab driver chain-smoking out his open window, the group of hip teens drinking by the curb, even though it was a school night and they couldn't be older than 16. Blake tried to square the scene in front of him with his life back home, neighborhood barbecues, white picket fences, and minivans in the Texas suburbs. He couldn't. He remembered arriving in Shanghai and being overwhelmed by the noise, the people, the strange foods and sounds and sights. He'd never visited Asia before, hadn't even thought about it until he quit the team and the ensuing chaos forced him to run as far away as possible. Blake hadn't expected to love this city so much. It had its flaws, but this year it became his home away from home. Here he was free to be who he wanted to be, and he liked who he was in Shanghai. It opened his eyes to a world beyond Texas, and now that he'd seen it, he didn't want to go back. His son or daughter would grow up, and if the bar was successful, he'd expand. If not, he'd try a different market. Either way, Blake wasn't meant to stay in his hometown for the rest of his life. That he knew for sure. As the wee morning hours wore on, FEAers trickled out of Geno's in waves. Some had early flights. Some had other activities in mind. Luke and Janice were the first to leave. He winked at Blake on his way past while Janice nuzzled his neck. As far as Blake knew, they'd spoken less than 10 words to each other before tonight. Ending the semester with a bang, literally. Good for them. Courtney, Chris, Leo, and Olivia left next. They all ignored Blake except Leo, who acknowledged him with a slight chin tilt. By the time the clock struck 2, most of FEA had left. Except Farah. Worry niggled at Blake. He was about to check on her when the door swung open and a sobered-up Sammy stumbled out holding Farah. Her eyes were half closed, her head lolled forward on her chest. "Is she okay?" Unsure of what to do, Blake stood, sat, and stood again. "Yeah, she should be fine after some rest and water. She fell asleep in there, and Gino's is about to close." Sammy propped Farah up against the railing. "Can you bring her back to the dorm? I have to get Nardo. Last I saw, he was hurling his guts out in the bathroom." Blake hesitated. "Sure." He draped Farah's arm over his shoulder and wrapped his free arm around her waist. "Go take care of Nardo." "You're not leaving till tomorrow night, right?" "Yep." "Cool. See you later." Sammy disappeared inside while Blake struggled to guide Farah to a cab. She didn't weigh much, but it wasn't easy dragging 115 pounds of dead weight down the stairs and across the street without killing either of them. Blake finally corralled them into a taxi. The minute they sat down, Farah dropped her head onto his shoulder. Her soft snores filled the back seat, drowning out the maudlin 80s ballad on the radio. Blake's mouth edged up into a smile when he remembered how Farah used to deny she snored. Outside, the streets of Shanghai whizzed by in a blur of lights. Blake tried to focus on the passing cityscape instead of the girl next to him. How many times had Farah rested her head on his shoulder while he held her? It was such a familiar sensation he almost tricked himself into believing they were still a couple. He didn't touch her. He was too afraid to even look at her, lest his heart break all over again. Still,
He felt like he was taking advantage by stealing these private moments when she wanted nothing to do with him when she was awake. The cab rolled to a stop in front of the dorm. Blake paid the driver and picked Farah up bridal style. He'd learned his lesson. Dragging was not the way to go. Once they arrived at her room, Blake set Farah on her feet and held her up with one arm while he searched for her key with the other. Fortunately, she carried a small bag instead of one of those cavernous totes girls loved. Blake found the key in no time. The door clicked open. Janice must have gone to Luke's homestay because her bed was empty. Blake laid Farah on her bed and went to work taking off her shoes, setting the garbage can beside her bed, and moving a half-empty water bottle from her desk to her nightstand. All set. He allowed himself the luxury of lingering an extra minute. His chest constricted as he looked down at Farah's sleeping form. In the past, Farah always wore a small smile while she slept, like she was so happy the joy followed her into her dreams. Now her brow furrowed and her mouth turned down at the corners. Before he could stop himself, Blake smoothed his fingers over her temple, like that would somehow wipe her sadness away. Farah's face relaxed. She sighed and shifted positions. Blake froze. He needed to leave before she woke up and saw him there. He turned off the light and...
Blake, she murmured.
Shit.
You promised you wouldn't leave.
She shifted again. Blake's eyes adjusted to the darkness enough to see hers were still closed, and he realized she was talking in her sleep. That Farah was asking for him in her sleep proved she wasn't as over him as she pretended to be. It should have made Blake feel better. It didn't. It made him want to cry because he understood firsthand how much she must be hurting. I know, baby, he whispered. He tucked a strand of hair behind her ears. I won't. You'll always have a piece of me with you. Farah sighed. The tightness in his chest intensified. Blake pulled his hand away, but Farah whimpered and grasped his sleeve.
No. Stay with me.
Her voice trailed off sleepily. A tear slipped down his cheek, and Blake had to hold his breath so his sob didn't disturb the silence. He eased into the bed next to Farah and held her in his arms. He kept his touch light, lest he wake her. Okay. I'll stay with you. Another tear escaped and landed on her forehead. Blake kissed it away.
I love you, Farah, he whispered.
Farah heaved another, more contented sigh.
Thanks for staying.
She buried her face in his chest, muffling her words.
I love you, Blake.
By now, the tears were falling too fast for him to wipe away, so he lay there and let them fall. Blake couldn't stay with Farah the entire night. It was too risky. But he stayed until her chest rose and fell in a steady rhythm, and she dozed off with a small smile on her face. The way she always did when they were together.
Chapter 37. This is it? Farah and Olivia stared at the dorm, the place where they had lived, laughed, and loved for a year, and where Farah had some of the best and most heartbreaking moments of her life. She was the first of her friends to leave. She'd spent the entire morning saying goodbye to her friends, to FEA, to everything and everyone she'd loved this past year. All except one. Farah's chest squeezed. We'll see each other soon, Olivia said. We'll be in New York together this summer. Hopefully. Farah hadn't received her summer assignment yet, but the thought of New York was the only thing keeping her going today. Farah, Olivia, and Sammy together in New York. It would be a dream. She didn't even mind playing third wheel to her friend's nauseatingly sweet relationship, the only one in their group that lasted the whole year. But as much as Farah loved Olivia and Sammy, it wasn't about the three of them. It was about the collective, and she didn't have the heart to tell her friend that even if they all somehow met up again, it wouldn't be the same. They would never be as young and carefree as they were now. They would never live in the same dorm, knowing the others were just a few rooms or a floor down. They couldn't hop into a cab and grab dinner in the French concession, or dance the night away in 808, or take spontaneous day trips to a neighboring water town. The magic of the group only existed in this place and moment in time. What scared Farah the most was not leaving Shanghai. It was the possibility they'd forget what FEA meant to them. For a year, maybe two or three, they'd reminisce and stay in touch. But what happens after 5 years, 10 years? Shanghai would be just another memory, relegated to the sandbox of time. Her cab driver, who had been busy cursing his future son-in-law on the phone, hung up. He got into the driver's seat and turned on the engine. A clear signal it was time to leave. Pain and regret washed over Farah. She'd resisted going to Blake's room to say goodbye. She had no reason to. They didn't stay friends after their breakup, but it felt wrong to leave without seeing him one last time. She didn't need to speak to him. She just wanted to see him. To remind herself that, despite how it ended, what they had was real. Tears prickled Farah's eyes. She sniffled and wiped them away with the back of her hand. Sorry, I'm a mess. Olivia wasn't paying attention. She stared over Farah's shoulder with a strange expression on her face. Farah turned. Her heart burst out of her chest when she saw Blake standing there. She may as well have conjured him with her thoughts. Dressed in a warm-up suit with earphones embedded in his ears, he was clearly en route to the gym. They both stared at each other, both at a loss for words. Farah couldn't breathe. She dreamed about him last night, a dream so vivid she could have sworn it was real. She even woke up to what she thought was his signature crisp, citrusy scent lingering in her sheets. Sometimes her wild imagination sucked. Olivia cleared her throat. I'm saying see you later, since this isn't goodbye. She squeezed Farah tight and whispered, do what you need to do. I love you so much. Olivia had been her confidant, partner in crime, and the best friend she could have asked for in Shanghai. Farah would never forget that. Olivia looked sadder than Farah had ever seen her. I love you too. Their hug lingered for a few more moments until Olivia released her. She flicked her gaze to Blake before disappearing into the lobby. Farah took a deep breath and turned around again. Blake was still standing there, but he'd taken his earphones out. His jaw tensed. He closed the distance between them and opened his arms without a word. That one simple gesture caused Farah to forget everything from the impatient cab driver to the way Blake broke her heart to all the nights she'd spent crying over him. Instead, she acted on instinct and went into his arms, pressing her cheeks so tight against his chest she heard his heartbeat. His strong arms enveloped her in a familiar embrace. Farah squeezed her eyes shut and tried to savor every millisecond, knowing each one could be the last. They weren't friends. They weren't enemies either. Whatever they were, this felt like a proper goodbye. For better or worse, Shanghai wouldn't have been the same without him.
Have a safe flight.
The deep rumble of Blake's voice startled her from her trance. Farah allowed herself one more second before pulling out of Blake's grasp. His hands dropped to his sides. Thanks. Farah held back a fresh wave of tears. Not now. Not yet.
I guess this is goodbye.
Yes. Her voice came out hoarser than she would have liked. She cleared her throat. I guess it is. Blake looked down. His Adam's apple bobbed.
Farah, I...
That slight hesitation caused her heart to gallop like a racehorse upon hearing the starting pistol.
Blake's jaw clenched. Goodbye.
Farah deflated. What did she expect? That he was going to drop to his knees and say how much he loved her and what a huge mistake he'd made? Life wasn't a book or a movie. It was silly to think otherwise. She climbed into the cab, unable to look at Blake any longer. She was about to close the door when he spoke again.
Do you hate me?
Her head jerked up in surprise. Blake's jaw remained tense as he waited for her response. Did she hate him? She had reason to. He broke her heart, made her believe they'd be together forever when she was just another notch in his belt, and ruined her last few months in Shanghai. At the same time, no. His eyes flared with surprise.
No.
No. Blake caused her more pain than she could have imagined. But he'd also made her happier than she thought possible. He confirmed true love did exist, even if it was unrequited. And that made all the heartbreak worthwhile. One day, Farah would find someone who'll make what she had with Blake pale in comparison. And maybe then she'd forget about the blue-eyed boy in front of her. But Blake would always be her first love. And for that, she could never hate him, no matter how much she wanted to.
I'm sorry.
Blake's stony expression cracked. His eyes shone with regret, sadness, and something Farah couldn't identify.
For everything.
I know. They stared at each other for the last time. The air between them was heavy with broken promises and unspoken words. But their time had run out. Not everyone gets a happy ending. And not all loose ends get tied up in real life. The only things they could take with them were the memories. Do they actually work for you?
Excuse me.
Your cheesy pickup lines, do they actually work for you? Thank you for trusting me enough to tell me about your dad.
I think you drive me crazier than any person ought to. And I think I might die if I can't be with you. You'll never lose me. I'll always love you. Always.
Farah smiled a sad smile. It had been good while it lasted. Goodbye. She closed the cab door and settled into her seat. She kept her eyes forward as the driver pulled out of the courtyard. They didn't make it to the main street before the skies opened up and droplets of water splattered against the windows like crystal tears. Farah leaned her head against the glass. She could just make out the buildings that defined Shanghai's skyline through the rain. The Pearl Tower, the Jinmao Tower, the World Financial Tower. It had been a morning of heart-wrenching farewells, but now she had to say the hardest goodbyes of all. To Shanghai, and the person she was here, in this place and time, knowing she'll never be this way again. Goodbye, Shanghai. Until we meet again.
Chapter 38. The cab peeled out of the courtyard, taking with it the tattered remains of Blake's heart. His jaw clenched so tight he thought his teeth would crack. It took all his willpower not to fall to his knees in front of Farah and beg her forgiveness. The hug was bad enough. He shouldn't have done it, but what choice did he have? He couldn't let her leave Shanghai without something. Blake wished he could take back everything that happened since winter break. He wished he could give Farah promises of future visits and emails and phone calls, of more tangible ways to stay connected beyond shared memories and regrets. He couldn't, so he gave her the only thing in his power to give. Apologies and a last embrace. Blake ducked his head, plugged in his earphones, and resumed his walk to the gym. The farther he walked from the dorm, the easier it was to tuck the past year's memories in a safe drawer near his heart. He didn't have the luxury of dwelling on the past. He had a family and an ex-girlfriend he needed to face in less than 48 hours.
He had a baby on the way and a lot of shit he needed to figure out. But the memories would always be there for him to draw upon when he needed them. The last image, that of Ferris' face right before she left, slipped inside, and Blake closed the drawer with a firm push. It broke his heart, but he couldn't deny it any longer. This chapter of their lives was over. This concludes If We Ever Meet Again by Anna Huang, narrated by Aiden Snow and Cindy Kay. Copyright 2020 by Anna Huang. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Anna Huang, care of Brower Literary and Management, and was produced in the year 2022 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.